Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
These sightings are the kind of sightings that you have to say, every one of them sounds like the smoking gun that something strange is going on. It doesn't matter whether you think UFOs are spaceships, interdimensional, time travelers, whatever. This is stuff that we really have to look at. With Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center, with Gene and Chris on the Paracast, and we're discussing the things that Peter presented during his delivery and interrogation over there at the National Press Club at the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure. Now, during your session, was the questioning tough at all or just pretty straightforward?
Pretty straightforward. The members, former members of Congress, I felt did an excellent job, as I've mentioned earlier in this program. They were interested in getting to the heart of the matter. These are people who spent years and decades in Congress conducting hearings, and so they have an advanced or enhanced ability to get to the heart of the matter very quickly to conserve time.
Yeah, and they got tougher and tougher as the week went on, too, I noticed. They got a little bit more thin-skinned and a little bit more brittle, I think, as the week wore on, and they really started really cutting to the chase. Kevin Randall was a little miffed, I think, at one point. I think he's written something on his blog that stated that he answered the same question three times, and it was asked three different ways, and he got a little frustrated by that and kind of threw himself back in his chair at one point. But that's Kevin.
I did see Kevin testify. I didn't note those three separate questions, but yeah, the members of the panel, I think they were getting exhausted. Five days of testimony, 6 to 8 hours a day, is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And they did a great job. I couldn't even sit in a chair and read for that amount of time, much less having to pay attention to what other long-winded people are having to say about a very...
You want care to mention any names of these long-winded presenters?
I think I was probably one of the worst offenders, but the members of the committee had a rough, rough job to pay attention and to stay awake for 5 days for that many hours per day. That's a tough job by my measure. So I can see why they'd be a little anxious to get right to the heart of the matter and dispose of people who were being long-winded and not, they were rambling and not getting to the point quickly.
Well, obviously, if you're an attorney, and a lot of these former members of Congress might just be, they're used to asking a question two or three different ways just to see whether there are any differences or variations in the testimony.
Sure. Good point, I think. I have no complaints about the manner in which the committee members conducted their hearings. I thought they did an excellent job, really, of getting to the point very quickly and trying to get the witnesses to be efficient and use their time wisely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they've come off pretty well in the media as a, you know, in the aftermath of the hearings. I think initially there was some, you know, poking at them because of the fact that they're being paid $20,000 to do this, which, as they pointed out, is really not that much when you consider the amount of work that it took to at least be semi-prepared going in. And the fact that they had to, like you say, sit there for, you know, 40, 50 hours and deal with the media and deal with, you know, the more social obligations that they would have from participants and people that were there. I saw them being pulled every which way during the breaks and afterwards. And I do think they did a good job. And I think the media recognized that. Those writers and reporters who were there and saw how they handled it, I think were impressed. I was. I thought they did a good job. I think one of the I'm trying to remember the name of the woman, I think Bartlett. She seemed to be a little slow. She was kind of the weak link in the chain. I think the other members were a lot more, you know, finely honed in terms of of their knowledge and their approach.
Bartlett was the gentleman from, I think, from Maryland.
I'm trying to remember who she was. It was the lady with the short hair and the glasses. She seemed to be the kind of the slow one of the bunch.
Former Congresswoman Woolsey.
Woolsey, that's it.
She's from California, San Francisco. There was former Congresswoman Kilpatrick from.
She was really sharp.
Yeah,
And she didn't put up with anything either, boy. She would, kind of chide people if they weren't answering her question properly. She'd stop them and say, "That's not what I asked you. I asked you this." And she got a little abrupt there towards the end, the last couple of days. Really, she did cut to the chase, I think, better than any of them. Also, who was the scientist, the chemical engineer? Was not Gravel, but trying to remember who that was. He was very good, too.
Oh, Congressman Cook?
I believe so, yeah.
Or Bartlett.
I think it was Cook, yeah. He was the oldest of the bunch, and he really, I mean, being a former, I think chemical engineer, if I'm not mistaken, he listened to some of the more scientific jargon that was put out by Stephen Greer and Tom Ballone at one point, and he was kind of scratching his head. I could see him thinking, I don't know about that. This all sounds great if you don't know science, but I don't think he was very impressed with that portion of the technology panel.
Congressman Bartlett, I think that was,
right.
Did a wonderful job. His questions were very good, and it was clear that he had a scientific background. They just, as made evident by how he phrased his questions, he wanted hard data, not just fluff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it was a little fluffy on some presenters' part. Linda Howe comes to mind of providing written materials to the Congress people and then sitting in a monotone voice reading it to them. I think at that point she was told that, she normally in a congressional hearing you only have 5 minutes and you don't have the luxury of having visuals. And she was actually called out by name for kind of, I don't know if you call it grandstanding, but with all the pregnant pauses, and it just seemed to me to be over the top. And I think most people really realize that they really had to get up there, say their piece, and stay within the time constraints, which were actually liberal for a congressional hearing.
Liberal with me, I'm afraid I violated that myself. But
well, you were starting the whole thing out, so you didn't really know. You didn't. They were trying to flash numbers at people. You have 5 minutes left. You have 1 minute left. And I think everybody towards the second and third day really zeroed in on the time constraints and attempted to make their case as quickly as they could and still be, comprehended.
Quick question here before we go on. That is, do you think the minds of any of those members of Congress were changed? I got the impression that Senator Gravel takes it pretty seriously.
Yeah.
Do you think those who went in who were skeptical came out and said, there's something really strange going on here.
Yeah,
we need to figure it out.
Well, they actually said that. And
yeah, they all said that.
On a couple of occasions, I felt they were really very forthright in saying, we came into this hearing session really not well-schooled in the subject of UFOs, and the committee members feel that we've had some excellent testimony here and good, objective, reliable testimony. But I found the testimony of the South America, the military officers from South America, one of whom,
riveting.
Intercepted an object with a Sukhoi 22 jet fighter, very compelling. And when he said he'd fired, I think he said 63 rounds of 30-millimeter cannon ammunition at the object, and the object just absorbed them.
Yeah,
even though he could see
amazing.
The projectiles hit, that's pretty powerful testimony.
Yeah, and he was so circumspect and so careful with how he described, and it was pointed out by the Congress people how they were very impressed with his very conservative, just sticking to the facts, not overstating anything, just being very matter-of-fact and circumspect about it. And I agree. I mean, that was probably, I think, the most riveting personal testimony that we heard because, of course, we are, I think he was a colonel in the Air Force. So he's a high-ranking officer that has a close proximity encounter with a huge object and absorbing 30-millimeter cannon fire is just, what's up with that?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we're going to absorb a lot of stuff and a lot of abuse from our sponsors if we don't give them a break. We have Peter Davenport joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Yeah.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21 cubic foot refrigerator freezer or a 22 cubic foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Discussing the riveting testimony at the citizen hearing on disclosure. Now, Chris and I focused on this last week where I was the anchor and he was the on-scene reporter as to what was going on. Peter Davenport was one of the presenters. So a lot of the very key information came to him. Now, of all the cases that you presented during these sessions and all the stuff you've investigated, if I brought you into my office and I said, Peter, I want to know the best case of all that demonstrates UFOs are real, solid aircraft of unknown origin, what do you think that singular case would be?
Well, there are two cases that come to mind immediately. The first one is the Phoenix Lights case.
Yeah.
It's actually a misnomer because the event started over Henderson, Nevada, not Phoenix. This was on the Thursday night, the 13th of March, 1997. The other case that I would cite that I was not involved in, actually, was the case of Travis Walton in November of 1975, November 5th. Those are the two most dramatic cases that I'm aware of.
Now, of course, the big argument people make about Travis Walton, and we do hope he will accept our invitation to come on the Paracast, the argument is that at least one of the lie detector tests he failed, and that's always brought back to mind.
I'm not aware of that.
That's what I heard, that one of the tests he failed, or they claim that.
Yeah, I haven't heard that report, but I know Travis Walton well. I hold him in very high regard. I've listened to his detailed description of his experience back in November of 75. I first heard it, I think I can tell you the date, the 13th of March, 1998, when I first met Travis, and his story hasn't changed a bit.
Yeah, it's been rock solid for 30-plus years.
Once you get to know Travis Walton, you realize just how straight a shooter this guy is. I'm impressed with the guy. He's very, very even keel. He's soft-spoken, self-effacing, and I can't believe he's done all of this and been consistent over the last 38 years. He couldn't have done that, I think, if it were all a hoax. In my opinion, a very dramatic case, a case in which a guy was aboard a saucer. It's that simple. It's a case where there are multiple witnesses. There were six guys sitting in a truck, his co-workers, looking out the window of the truck while all of this took place in front of them. That scared them so badly they decided to get out of the county. In my opinion, a very dramatic case. But the Phoenix Lights case was a good one. We estimate that it had to have been hundreds of thousands of people who saw those objects that spent almost 2 hours, maybe a little bit more than 2 hours, loitering over the state, as you pointed out earlier in this program, Chris, to include the governor of the state, who lied for 10 years. He did not share with his constituents or the public the fact that he had seen one of those objects. He made light of it, which annoys me tremendously.
Yeah.
It really raises the question of whether he was pardoned by President Clinton in response to or as payment for the governor's remaining silent for 10 years.
Did you know, Peter, that I was in Casa Grande, right south, in between Phoenix and Tucson, in a motel right on I-10, and the thing flew right over the motel, and I was in watching a basketball game?
Oh, no.
And I heard people hooting and hollering, and I thought it was people watching the game. And then all of a sudden they broke in and said, "We have a special, you know, report. Behind me, you see this huge object that's hovering over the Estrella Mountains." And I'm like, "What?" And so I go outside, and all these people are out there saying, "Oh, you missed it. It flew over. It was miles long." And I'm like, "Oh, man."
Well, we got a report from Mrs. Stacy Rhodes, who was driving up Interstate 10 from Tucson up to Phoenix. Her husband was driving. She was in the passenger seat, in the front seat. Her two children were in the back seat, and I think her mother-in-law. They saw the object as it straddled the highway. It was a huge craft, miles in width, and it completely blanketed out the sky above them as they drove under it. She estimates that they were doing 80 miles an hour. They were underneath it for an estimated 1 to 2 minutes, underscoring just how big the object was. And the object was going the opposite direction. It was going southeast towards Tucson. So they were in Casa Grande when they saw that object. It was a dramatic sighting. And that was one of only five triangular craft that were over Phoenix that night, in addition to a huge disc. How big the disc was, we have no idea, but people said it appeared to them to be very large, perhaps a mile or two in diameter.
I just want to throw something out here because I mentioned the failure of a lie detector test on the part of Travis Walton. There is a section in the Wikipedia entry on the case that covers this, and obviously it's controversial as to the nature of those tests. It's called Suppressed Polygraph Exam and Controversy. And it discusses the report of polygraph tests that he may have failed and what might have been the flaws, but those who want to get the pluses and minuses should look over that entry, and then when we have Travis Walton Arn, hopefully soon, we'll be able to question him about it. Fair enough, Peter?
Yeah, sounds good. I've read Travis's book, and I'm going on memory now. Excellent book. I enjoyed it immensely. I spoke with Travis down at the Eureka Springs Conference. I think it was April of 2011, so about 2 years ago. And I asked him that question, whether he had written his book by himself or whether he had somebody helping him with it. And he said he'd done it, every word he had written himself. Very interesting, very well-written book. One of the more remarkable and more memorable books in the field of ufology that I've read. His description of waking up apparently in the saucer that had abducted him and seeing these creatures standing around the gurney or the table that he's lying on is really very, very gripping. And what they looked like and his experience aboard that saucer, then he was he remembers being somewhere else on in a much larger facility, perhaps a so-called mothership, a term many people use. I hope you can get him on so he can tell his own story.
No, he's agreed to go on. It's just hard to pin him down.
Yeah. Well, he's got a pretty extensive travel itinerary going to all of these conferences. He's in high demand. I'm not surprised.
We're hoping so, because every time we see Travis at a UFO event, we say, Travis, can you do an interview with us? He says, sure, sure. Contact me after this event, and I'll be happy to do it. So then we contact him after the event, and maybe our reputation precedes us as being hard-nosed questioners here, as you know. Maybe, you know, he's having second thoughts, but we do hope he'll come on. We're not here to just disprove things. We just want to know what's going on. What happened to him?
Well,
there you go.
I would recommend you read his book before you interview him, because the latest edition of his book, because it's very good. It goes into great detail as to what happened, his experience aboard the saucer, and what happened subsequently to that. He does an excellent job of addressing every detail of it that I can imagine.
I can imagine we have to do this break. Folks, you can find so much more of the things that we do if you go to our site, thepowercast.com. ThePowerCast.com. We have Peter Davenport joining Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, where Chris is in our special studio in a secret underground bunker, but not near a missile silo. I want to clarify that. We have Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center with us. For those listeners who aren't familiar with your organization, maybe spend a moment, give us the history of the organization and how people can get in touch with you, and then we'll get back to case histories.
You bet. I welcome that opportunity. I became the director of the National UFO Reporting Center in late July of 1994, although it had been in existence almost 20 years at that point. Founded by Mr. Robert J. Gribble, a retired Seattle fireman who was very interested in the UFO phenomenon, had hosted a great many gatherings of people who were involved in UFO research, and he ran the hotline for 20 years. How he did it, I don't know, but it's testimony to the stamina of a Seattle fireman. I took it over in July of 94, and it's the most remarkable job I've ever had in my life, taking UFO reports 24 hours a day. It's really quite remarkable. But essentially, we do two things. We provide a facility where people may contact us. Most of all, we ask them to submit their data, a description of their experience or sighting in written form, and we then make those reports available. In the last 19 years, I estimate that I have received somewhere between 200,000 and 300,000 reports over the telephone and over the internet. We have about 76 or 78,000 reports posted. The smaller number of posted reports below the total number of reports I've received is because not everybody who contacts our center follows up with a written report. So we have fewer reports than otherwise could be the case if everybody followed up with a written statement, a written detailed statement of their experience and sighting. Here's an interesting factoid I'll share with our audience, which is a surprise to many people. I estimate that out of somewhere between 10,000 and 20,000 individuals who have been witness to what most likely was a UFO, only one of those 10,000 to 20,000 people has ever reported it in a meaningful fashion. Meaningful fashion meaning they have not written it down, they have not recorded the evidence indelibly in a fashion that allows us to share it publicly with other people. But 76,000 reports, let's be conservative, that's a lot of reports. If the UFO phenomenon is a hoax or not real, that's a lot of reports from people who have been mistaken by something. So that's what we do in a nutshell.
Just very briefly here, or maybe we can get into more detail. It's feeling that when we cover UFOs, we concentrate on all these older cases going back to Roswell in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Now, mentioning another organization, MUFON, it seems in 2012 there were quite a few sightings that they recorded. What's your experience been?
Well, we have similar experiences between the National UFO Reporting Center and MUFON. I'm a member of MUFON. I write a monthly article for the MUFON Journal. And Roger Marsh, the editor of that journal, and I compare notes. And we're having similar experiences, similar number of reports. The trends that they see are similar to the trends that I believe are evident in the data that I post. So this happens, it tends to corroborate. The experience of one organization corroborates what another organization is experiencing as well. So it's yet more corroboration of our suspicion that this phenomenon is very real, and it is what it appears to be. Namely, we are receiving reports about the presence or apparent presence of alien spacecraft on the planet Earth, and it's been taking place for a long, long time, I suspect.
Now, as you know, there are other theories about UFOs, because obviously we can say they appear to be extraterrestrial because they show all this evidence of advanced technology. Some talk of interdimensional, time travelers, whatever. Do you think maybe it's a little premature to be saying spaceships before the investigation continues?
Well, I suspect that interdimensional or time travel experiences are UFOs. They're one and the same. Creatures that have a command of physics, an understanding of physics that allows them to do this type of thing and to travel in the three-dimensional space that we are currently trapped in, four dimensions if you include time. But if people think that it's something other than what we ufologists have reported, I think they have a special responsibility to present their evidence that has led them to their conclusion. That's the scientific method. That's the system we rely on to get to the bottom of any complex or complex phenomenon that we don't understand well. Use the scientific method, I would recommend to them.
Well, how does the scientific method say they're spaceships? I mean, we can say they're physical. We can say they seem to show maneuverability that's beyond what we can do. They're tracked on radar. They're photographed and movies are taken of them sometimes, but how can we say they're extraterrestrial? It sounds like, what else can it be?
It's pretty simple from my vantage point. If they travel at 20,000 miles an hour, 50 feet, or 50 miles above the surface of the planet, that's not United Airlines Flight 263 headed to Buffalo. It's not a Canadian goose. So I think the evidence is fairly clear that we're dealing with something that is totally anomalous. And if you combine those reports with reports, which are fairly infrequent, but I feel in many cases well substantiated, reports from people who claim to have seen creatures, I think that's enough evidence, certainly for me, to conclude that we almost certainly are dealing with craft that are of extraterrestrial origin, and they're piloted by creatures that are not from this planet. In my opinion, we have very solid evidence, and the one thing I'd like to do is build a passive radar system, the system I describe in the paper I wrote back in the spring of 2004 and presented at the MUFON Symposium in Denver. If we build one of those systems, we will be able to provide the evidence that is, that supports the statement I just made quite handily, I think. So that's what I'd like to do. We can collect the evidence. If the government is not going to share what it knows about UFOs, we're going to have to go around them, sort of an island hopping exercise, to just avoid or skip or ignore what the government has to say and generate our own objective information on this phenomenon.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to do.
Now, I'm sure that Chris can come up with case histories of what I'm talking about here, and I'll ask Chris to do that. But do you ever get the impression that what we're seeing is not what's really there? And I don't mean illusions either.
You
get my drift. Are we seeing the actual event that's taking place before us, the anomalous event, or are we seeing what we think we should see or what we expect to see? And maybe I'm getting into a collective unconscious. It doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean it is an alien. But are we seeing the actual event?
I don't know how to answer the question. If they show up in photographs and show up on radar and people see them with their visual system, the conclusion that leads me to is the event is taking place. What the nature of the event is, we still have to explain. But if you're talking about an imaginal event, that takes us down a path that I really have no experience with.
Yeah, these objects do appear, obviously, to be physical. But, you know, when you look at multiple witness cases, for instance, and you interview everyone separately, there's general consistencies. But some of the details tend to be they don't always match, and there tends to be some sort of skew or personal bias, and I don't think that's a product of people misremembering something. I've had cases where, you know, I've actually been one of the multiple witnesses, and I've been able to interview people almost immediately, and you'll notice that there are certain subtle differences in how various people observe the same event.
And Chris, I want to ask you about the specifics, because this is what we're getting to. And we'll have Peter's reaction. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
If you're going to have a bunker, why not have an ultimate bunker? In case of pandemic outbreak, civil unrest, biological or nuclear fallout, or EMP attacks, stay safe in your own ultimate bunker, built for lasting security for any need or budget. Manufactured in Salt Lake City, Utah, each ultimate bunker includes free food storage and all the comforts of home. Learn more at ultimatebunker.com. That's ultimatebunker.com. Or call 801-661-3900. Ultimate Bunker. You can't do better than the ultimate.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
So, are UFOs what we think they are? So we see solid metallic aircraft, but if we saw that in connection with our culture of 1,000 years ago, what would they appear to be, or is just that the way a primitive people would have observed this particular phenomenon? Who knows?
Well, that's
Chris,
language.
You were getting into more detail about this in our conversation with Peter Davenport.
That's languaging, Gene. I think that there's obviously there's going to be some sort of difference just based on how we language these, try to explain to each other these unusual events that are high strange enough for us not to obviously consider them to be normal by any stretch. But
that's the point I was bringing up, which is the point is that depending on our culture, we will interpret it in the form of our understanding of what's going on. So if we saw gods coming from the skies, we'd interpret it that way. If we're living in a culture where we're talking about spaceships, our sci-fi culture, they will appear to be spaceships. So, Chris, you were talking about variations among witnesses that seem to be different than just the normal level of misinterpretation.
Yeah, the two things that really stick out in my mind, the two areas where you are most likely to see some sort of personal bias or skew, has to do with the actual time of the event, the duration of the event, and the actual step-by-step descriptions of what it did first, what it did second, what it did third, and how long it took to do those things. Sometimes that can be just wildly variation from one account to the other. I don't know if you've found this, Peter, but it just seems that the duration of the event and the actual sequence or chain of events, so first, second, third, and fourth, those things tend to be the things that are most prone to being have some sort of variance to them. But also other details, when people describe a particular craft, you can sometimes get people describing what it appears to be different objects, even though they're seeing ostensibly the same object. So this is not always the case by any stretch, but when it does happen, it makes me wonder if perhaps a certain aspect of the experience is personalized by the witness, and it actually can be, let's say, two or three different things at once. And also objects morphing. I've had a number of reports where objects appear to be one shape and size, and they can divide up into three, go back together. You can have multiple objects that seem to coalesce together. I'm not sure if a physical spacecraft, and of course, the author C. Clarke, any technology advanced beyond ours will appear as magic. I mean, even keeping that in mind, it just seems that sometimes these objects almost appear to be alive. They almost appear to be biological. And, you know, there's a lot about this, obviously, that we don't know. I'm sure the government has a ton of information that we don't have, and that's why they're probably that much more confused, I think, than most of us are. I've said that many times. But I do get a sense, and I've always had a sense, that there's elements that are beyond a nuts and bolts ETH explanation, synchronicities, these meaningful coincidences that occur that are just too improbable to be by chance or by coincidence. You know, there's elements in there that I think deserve more attention. Of course, Jacques Vallée, John Keel, others have come up with similar observations over the years. But I think we still need to be at least open-minded enough to consider other possibilities and look at some of this sort of hidden skew factor, which I don't think enough attention is paid to. I'm off my soapbox.
Yeah, we all have our own respective soapboxes, don't we? Well, anything is possible, but I think the bottom line with the UFO phenomenon is it appears to be a very real phenomenon. People are seeing objects for which they have no terrestrial explanation or terrestrial-based explanation. People are seeing, from time to time, they see very unusual creatures suggesting that they've come from someplace other than from Earth. And I think it warrants the full attention of the world's human population. We're, I think, on the verge of a major epiphany, a paradigm shift, some people call it, in realizing that we're not the only living creatures in this galaxy. And that, my opening statement to the committee 8 days ago was, it appears that the UFO phenomenon is real, and it is the greatest scientific question that has ever confronted man. Are we alone, or are we not? From my vantage point at the National UFO Reporting Center, it appears that we are not alone, and we should be studying this phenomenon aggressively on all fronts, and we should be pressing our government to share with us what it knows about this phenomenon. It must know the truth for sure.
You really think they know the truth?
Absolutely, I do.
When sense of truth, do they know the truth that, as you feel, it's ET, or do they know a farther truth or a greater truth that they know exactly where they're from?
Well, I suspect both. They're not mutually exclusive questions. They probably have had communication with them, but that's conjecture on my part. Certainly they would want that communication. They would want to learn where they've come from, what they're capable of. It cuts to every facet of our existence, where we've come from, what our purpose is here on planet Earth, what our future may be, and so on and so forth. It's a very, very important question. And certainly the U.S. government would realize that fact, and they would want to communicate with these creatures. I suspect that communication has taken place, and if it has, I want the U.S. government to share that information with the American people. They have a responsibility.
Yeah, we have a right to know.
In a totalitarian state, we would not have the authority and the right to know, but our government purports to be representative of the American people. And that's a completely different situation from a totalitarian state. They have a responsibility to tell us what's going on. I was rather shocked last week to discover or to realize that apparently senior members of Congress are not aware of the phenomenon. That really surprises me.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
basically we're saying here that there are no intelligence briefings. Were any of these people in Congress involved with any of the intelligence committees, because that would give them access if there is access?
Both intelligence and military, both, I believe. Congressman Bartlett was on the defense committee. He professed to have no knowledge of the government's participation or exploration of the UFO phenomenon. I wish I'd had a chance to sit down with Congressman Bartlett and point out that the U.S. Navy, with its naval space surveillance system, certainly would have been in a position to detect UFOs.
you'd have to think they did or would have. But what about other countries? This is a dilemma that Chris and I discussed last week, and that is that we have other countries who don't have our interests at heart. We can see where the UK, USA, Japan, France, Australia, etc., we're all in lockstep. But then we look at Russia, we look at China, we look at countries in parts of the world that are certainly not consistent with our goals. Look at North Korea. Now, obviously, if there are sightings here, there are sightings in North Korea. Obviously, they have military officials there who might be investigating. Couldn't they use that as leverage, one country pitted against another, to reveal what it knows about UFOs? How can the entire world keep the secret?
They could indeed, but in the case of North Korea, the example you've cited, it's a totalitarian state. Everybody's afraid of everything. Sometimes I wonder about my own country with respect to that issue.
I'm glad you mentioned it, because if you hadn't, I would have.
Well, they're listening to this show. We know that. We know it's somewhere in the NSA right now, one of those big mainframe computers.
Yep, of course. And I've talked to senior military people. As I mentioned during my presentation at the hearing, I've had communications with people who have stars on their shoulders, and they admit that things have happened that they find to be very mysterious and very dramatic. But they are in the military. They do what their commander orders them to do or not do. They don't want to sour their career. If they're on the verge of retirement, are they going to go against the prevailing attitude of the government or prevailing position that UFOs are not real? I don't think so.
No, too much to lose.
That explains why these people haven't come forward in greater numbers than has been the case. There are a few exceptions.
I'll tell you what, we'll get to those exceptions and more. We have Peter Davenport joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.